This is the Mind War. Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. And I am Decoder. And I'm joined here with quite a few people today. Of course, as usual, my man Roger Five.
Hey, how's it going?
Who, apparently, I've realized his political inclinations. I think he's calling for a fascist totalitarian regime to rule us with an iron fist. Isn't that like...
That's the way it's got to be, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, effectively in the short term, I mean, over the long period of time, it ends up being the egalitarian society without any, like, you know, recognized form of government.
But, that's what I want, yeah.
Right. That's what I want, too.
Well, you know. Anyway, I'm also joined here with a man that a lot of people might know by the name of Paranoia.
Yeah, what up? I go by Paranoia on FNet and most message forums.
Nobody cares about fucking IRC, bro. Nobody gives a fuck. And also, my man Lacutus.
Hello.
Representing the Republican Party to the fullest. For all those who accuse us, of being fucking leftists and liberals.
You know, I would never think that you'd actually let me on this leftist liberal radio show.
Fuck you, bro.
But you invited me on, so...
Whatever, dude. I said the first episode that we're not the motherfucking O'Franken factor. All right?
Well, I know that. You're actually entertaining.
Oh, see? Definite conservative Republican on our hands.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is he just figured out what bridge we were on. So.
He decided to infiltrate it with his wacky, conspiracy-laden ideas. Anyway.
Are you talking about yourself, though?
I'm talking about you. You know the right-wingers are all full of conspiracies. Come on. It's the radical right-wing. That's what they always talk about.
The vast right-wing conspiracy.
The vast right-wing conspiracy is a liberal conspiracy.
Right.
That's a conspiratorial liberal term. I'm talking about people like Ruby Ridge motherfuckers and Timothy McVeigh. That radical right-wing neo-Nazi type of deal.
Yeah.
Don't even get me going on Timothy McVeigh.
Anyway, yeah, that's for another like 25 episodes. Anyway. We do have a few things to talk about today.
We laugh now.
Yeah, we laugh now, but believe me, we won't be laughing later. But we do have quite a few things to talk about today. One of the main reasons that I have Paranoia on today is because Paranoia was nice enough to listen to the first two episodes. By the way, this is November 6th, 2004. Anyway, this, I guess, is episode two. I don't care. Anyway. But Paranoia was nice enough to listen to the first two episodes, and I think he has some concerns with some of the things that were said. And he's here to voice those concerns. But before we let Paranoia voice his concerns, or not let him, because, you know, he's always able to, before we give him the opportunity to do it here, we do have a couple of emails from some people. Roger,
okay,
do you have those emails?
Later. Can we do that later, Chad? Just go upstairs and do that.
Okay, we'll do the emails later. Fine. So then I guess we should just get... Oh, no, I have one really short thing before we start this. And this is something to do with my man Reverend Sam Young Moon, the Moonies, if anybody knows about them. I have this little news item here, and it reads, "In this troubled world, it's good to know that our congressional leaders have their priorities straight. On March 23, 2004, more than a dozen lawmakers attended a congressional reception honoring the Reverend Sam Young Moon, at which he declared himself to be the Messiah and said his teachings have helped Hitler and Stalin be, quote, reborn as new persons." So, anyway, at the bizarre ceremony held in Washington's Dirksen Senate Office Building, Representative Danny Davis, the Democrat from Illinois, wore white gloves and carried a pillow holding an ornate crown that was placed on Moon's head. The controversial cult leader then delivered a long speech saying, quote, "Emperors, kings, and presidents have declared to all heaven and earth that Reverend Sun Young Moon is none other than humanity's savior, messiah, returning lord and true parent," end quote. Among the attendees at the ceremony, first reported by Salon.com writer John Gorenfeld, was Senator Mark Dayton, Democrat from Minnesota, who now says he did not know Moon would be there. A fucking reception honoring him? Okay. Anyway, let me take a drag of my cigarette. alarm constituents have demanded to know if Dayton is, quote, a Moonie, which he has denied. Most reports of the event fail to note that Moon has been a longtime financial benefactor to conservative politicians. In fact, in the 1990s, Moon's organization paid former President George H.W. Bush, or Daddy Bush, as we like to call him, and former First Lady Barbara Bush to give speeches at Moon-sponsored events. During one such speech in Argentina in November 1996, the former President Bush declared, quote, I want to salute Reverend Moon, who Bush praised as, quote, the man with the vision. So there's a little just odd piece of news about the Moonies. And Lacutus, being in the state that you're in, you might want to get on the ball about this fucking Dayton guy.
Well, you know, I'm aware of the situation with Mark Dayton and his secret Moonie life.
Okay.
that's been a subject of much discussion in my state.
Okay.
Pretty much all things that Senator Mark Dayton does, we like to call him the crazy senator. He decided that it wasn't safe to be in Washington, D.C. over the election, so he shut down his office and sent everybody home, citing safety concerns, and Republicans and Democrats alike looked at him like he just put down the crack pipe.
Very, very interesting. So he's the crazy Senator Moonie, but H.W. Bush with his saying Reverend Moon is the man with the vision. That's okay.
Well, the thing is, giving speeches is business. When they pay you $100,000 to come speak to them and they want you to praise their boss, you do it.
You're kind of right. I kind of am inclined to agree with you on that one.
You know what? If they were paying you to come give a speech...
Hey, Reverend Moon, he's the man with the fucking vision.
Exactly.
Anyway, that was just a small piece of news I wanted to read because I like dumb shit like that. And I'm sure that no one out there listening has ever fucking heard of anything like that. Now you have on this alternative fucking news program that we call the Mind War, where you get mind fucked upside down.
I'd like to throw in a quick thing about the Moonies.
Oh, go right ahead, please.
Many people, I don't think, fully understand what some of the crazy things that these people do. Their biggest claim is they perform mass weddings.
Yeah, the mass weddings. Yep.
Where they'll have 1,000 people, and Moonie himself will marry them all.
He's a good guy.
Ceremony. This is among many weird things that they do.
Well, there's a picture of them in this little article out of this this magazine. Actually, is called Paranoia, the Conspiracy Reader. I think it was named after Paranoia, who's here on the show today.
Although not that you would know it because he's not fucking talking.
Yeah, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, not many people know about the Moonies, but there's a picture of the Reverend, who I like to call him the Right Reverend, as I would refer to him as. And he's wearing this crown, and it's really fucking craziness.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
You do know that in the computer underground scene, there's been quite a movement towards this.
Really?
Yeah, the Moods. I believe they're the same people.
Really?
Yeah, Moods.
And in our very little culture.
Yeah, and I believe, and I could be mistaken. And like, I'm going to throw that one out there, but I do believe that at DEF CON, there was quite the talk of it, and quite the talk of having a computer-related Moo convention. I could
very,
be my
very troubling.
Troubling news for a troubling world.
I could be getting my terminology wrong, and I would love to.
Well, if anyone knows about this shit, shoot us an email at either themindwar@usa.com, which Rigel says is lame, or themindwar@themindwar.com.
Actually, Rigel 5 at themindwar.com.
Yeah, send it to Rigel directly because he's the
How
one
do you
who's
spell
talking
that?
About it. Oh, that's, of course, for anyone out there, that's another thing. People always get Rigel's fucking name wrong. For anyone out there, this is for the record. We only have to say it once, because if you go to the website, you'll see his name spelled. But
you probably won't be able to pronounce it from the way it's
spelled. Yeah, right, you won't be able to pronounce it. But his name is R-I-J-I-L-V, Rigel 5. And when you write that, you capitalize the R and the V. Anyway. But, of course, for the email address, you don't really need to capitalize anything. So R-I-J-I-L-V. Anyway. For your cap-sensitive fucking emailing skills. But anyway, I do. If Paranoia will start talking, Paranoia, you have some issues with the past two episodes about our good friend and president.
Let's call him Fearless Leader.
Yeah. Fearless Leader and Overlord, King George. George
right.
W. Baby Bush.
Yeah, I listened to the last episode, and I don't know. I remember you reading that article about trying to convince people that Bush is a sociopathic killer.
Oh, I wasn't trying to convince anyone of anything, because our goal here at the Mind War is not to convince anyone of anything. It's just to fucking put ideas out there.
Right. That's why I said that the article was.
Okay, yeah. Well, the article definitely was, yes.
Yeah. Okay, the previous governor of Texas signed no death warrants. So Bush, believing in the death penalty, had to sign a lot of those to make up for what the last governor did not sign. That's
there's that word again. He had to.
Okay, he didn't. He
didn't have to do anything.
You know, no. I'd like to jump. You know, it was his duty to do that. That was part of his job.
But
the citizens
you see,
of Texas expected him to do all the things that the law prescribes he do as part of his job. Now, other governors may have decided not to do it out of their own protest, and that's their right.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt that it was his job to do what they expected of him, so he completed all of his tasks.
So 154 death warrants in 6 years.
Now, the thing that you need to look at is this is a backlog. Most of these people, I would be willing to bet, I don't have anything to back this up, but knowing how the death penalty works, I'd be willing to bet that almost none of those people were convicted of crimes while Bush was in office.
Oh, I'm sure that none of those people were convicted of crimes while he was in office, because as we know, the death penalty it's more of a form of legalized torture, because to say that you're convicting someone and then you sentence them to the death penalty, but then you let them sit on death row for fucking 20 years, I'm not going to say that I agree with or disagree with the death penalty. I'm not even going to put I'm not going to put that forth, what I agree with. But I will say that if you're going to have the death penalty, to do it in a prompt manner is just kind of expected, you know what I'm saying? But to leave someone on death row for years.
The courts and the lawyers have drawn out this process out of a concern that we'll be executing the wrong people.
But they do it anyway. They execute the wrong people anyway. It's happened time and time again.
There have been innocent people that it's happened to, and that happens. It's an unfortunate cost of freedom.
Well, yeah, it's one of the unfortunate costs of freedom.
There are many unfortunate and very expensive costs of freedom that
most
we
definitely
have to deal with. And, yeah, I agree that if somebody is sentenced to death, they should bring them all back to the courthouse and shoot them on the spot.
Right then and there, like the motherfucking, who are those people?
The Romans did that. The Chinese do it almost to the
I'm
day.
Talking more recently. The fucking, fuck.
Fundamental Islamics?
No.
I believe that the Chinese follow a similar system.
You have to. That's the way you have to do it. You're sentenced to death. The executioner better be there, ready.
I mean, I'm willing to give you until the next day.
Well, if you want to appeal it, that's a different thing. If you, as the sentenced, as the convicted, decide you want to appeal it, then okay, we don't have to do it right then and there.
Well, now we have a system of automatic appeals.
But still, you as the fucking, if you're the convicted fucking criminal who gets sentenced to death, you know what I'm saying? At that point...
Well, it should be your choice whether you appeal. It shouldn't be an automatic appeal.
Well, yeah, of course. It should be your choice. That's what I'm saying. You could say, I don't want to appeal.
If
you know?
Accept responsibility for what you did and believe that you should, in fact, die, well, then you should be more than welcome to be executed expediently.
Okay, well, you know what, then? I'm going to admit that Paranoia and you, Lacutus, you both bring up good points about this fucking... about what this author, who I read about on the 50 Reasons Not to Vote for Bush by Robert Sterling... the problem with these 154 death warrants, yeah, definitely a lot of the blame definitely lies with the judges in Texas.
Not only with the judges, but with the Texas legislature for having the statutes that they do to bring the death penalty into being.
Well, for a judge, though, I mean, when you take these people, like it did mention, this 60-year-old grandmother convicted of killing her chronically abusive husband, do you really think that is that's a crime worthy of the death penalty?
No, I don't, but that's a prosecutorial problem. If they have county attorneys in Texas that are seeking the death penalty in cases like that, then I think the voters in Texas need to work on who their county prosecutors are.
Well, you definitely bring up good points, but I will have to sit with the fact that, you know, Bush could have commuted that one particular fucking death sentence. There's a few he could have commuted. He could have looked at it objectively. I refer back to the solitary stay of execution that he issued to Ricky Nolan McGinn in June 2000 when the questions were raised about the death penalty justice and it became a political issue. So Mr. Bush commuted it. But fucking later on, he only stayed alive for a little while because Ricky Nolan McGinn was lethally injected on September 27th, 2000. You know what I'm saying? So
well,
that day of execution really didn't...
It was delayed.
Yeah, I mean, it's hey, come on. He doesn't have to sign them all. 60-year-old fucking grandmother and making fun of Carla Faye Tucker, I don't care what the fuck she did. Yeah, she was a fucked up person, you know what I'm saying? She probably deserved to fucking spend the rest of her life in jail. And if for people who agree with the death penalty, maybe she deserved the death penalty. But for Bush...
Think, Tucker claiming that she became a born-again Christian is, like, any reason to not kill her.
Well, no, that was Pat Robertson who wanted... the sentence to be commuted. That was Pat Robertson. Tucker Carlson was merely interviewing George W. Bush, and for Bush to be fucking mocking this person,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
You know what, though? I think that the context of this is, you know, if people say, please don't execute me, they should be begging for that if they committed the crime in the first place.
But you shouldn't, as the governor of the state, be mocking these people.
And I don't think that it was a particular mock towards her. I think it was in general, please don't kill me, had more to do with, you know what, if you're going to commit a crime, you have to be willing to deal with the consequences. Don't
perhaps
beg for your life later. It's like saying, please don't send me to jail. It's not Bush's job to decide whether or not to follow through with these punishments that are imposed, that are sought by the prosecutors and imposed by the judges, the people of the state and the judges of the state.
Well, I tell you this, you definitely bring up very good points. But I think that my reason, I'm not gonna get into the reasons of this author for writing this book and this particular portion of it that I read. But I will say that my reasons for reading it were because I don't see any stitch of compassion in this guy fucking Bush. That's the reason I read it. That's my personal reason for reading it. Robert Sterling, the author of this book, 50 Reasons Not to Vote for Bush, and this was reason 21 because he's a psychopathic killer. I don't comment on his particular beliefs rather than what I've read in this one section of his book. But my reason for reading it is because I do agree with the fact the guy has no compassion, and the other point that I was trying to make was that he cannot accept responsibility for anything, and he never has. And he can't do it. It's impossible for the guy. That's all I was saying. But this death sentence thing, yeah, that was a much larger issue than I made it out to be. A much larger issue. And there's, you know, not to say that there's anything, not to say that there's still not a problem. It's a fucking problem.
Well, the death penalty is a problem, and the biggest thing, though, that you have to look at with Bush and the death penalty is we have three co-equal branches of government, and the state of Texas has a similar setup.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the job of the governor, of the executive branch, to make these decisions. It's the job of the governor to have a very barely involved decision process to make sure that there's not a total miscarriage of justice. Now, whether or not you agree with it being an appropriate punishment or not, the fact that there's no argument whether or not they did the crime, I don't think the governor should necessarily be commuting sentences.
Well, I'm gonna end this little segment on the Bush and the death penalty thing simply by saying that indeed, as everyone pointed out, that previous governors decided that they had their own moral objections to the death penalty and decided not to sign any of the warrants, and Bush took it upon himself to sign 154 of them.
I'd also like to point out that you brought up a killer. I don't have his name in front of me. Do you remember that offhand?
Who? Henry Lee Lucas?
Yeah, Lucas. Bush did not... Bush had no say in his execution because he was not sentenced to execution. It's not like Bush didn't sign the death warrant for him. The courts never sent him to execution. I just wanted to point that out.
Oh yeah, very good point. I don't. If I misled anyone into believing that Bush had anything to do with the fact that he wasn't executed, I didn't mean to do that. What I meant to say was, you know, what I meant to try to portray was that these people who are receiving the death penalty, and then fucking you have Henry Lee motherfucking Lucas, who doesn't get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was the court's problem. I don't think.
Yeah, there's a much larger problem at hand. You know what I'm saying? A much larger problem at hand. But who knows why these courts rule the way they do. Maybe the 60-year-old grandmother who killed her fucking abusive husband, maybe they just, it was like a crime of passion, and you have to give these people the death penalty because, you know, it's obvious they can't control their emotions when Henry Lee Lucas was just a calculated killer. Wait, what happened?
There could have been extenuating circumstances with that, too.
Perhaps, yeah. I don't know the story.
I don't think that's relevant.
We don't know all the facts.
We should move on to a different topic.
Yeah, we should definitely move on to a different topic. Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas, just to make it clear, he was not sentenced to death. Bush had no say in whether the guy lived or died.
Right.
Anyway, on to fucking brighter and better things.
Right.
Did you, you know, that was from the episode, that was from the Psychopathic Killer episode. And what about the election episode? Do you have any grievances with that, Paranoia?
I don't know. I voted for Bush and also donated well over 10 hours to working for the Republican Party to try to get him elected.
In the state of California, let everyone
right,
know.
Which failed miserably. But
well, of course. It's the state of California, just like New York.
Hey, you know, I don't know. I mean, we got places up in Northern California where it's pretty liberal, but then you got Southern California and, like, way up Northern California, which is pretty conservative. So
should I point out that your current governor over there in the state of California is Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger? And I don't know if anyone knows this, but his father, Gustav Schwarzenegger, was actually a Nazi stormtrooper.
Indeed.
Yeah, he was a Nazi stormtrooper. And I should like to point out that membership in the SA, which is the abbreviation for stormtrooper, I don't know the exact fucking German word, Sturm something or other, but to be in the SA was not compulsory. You had to volunteer to be a stormtrooper.
Now, something that's oftentimes overlooked is those fucking Austrians were like some of the most vicious members of the Nazi Party.
I mean, you could. What about the Polish, the Poland incident, where it was the Austrians, I think, who dressed up the fucking prisoners in concentration camps as Polish military to have them march against some SAs, and then they got into a big battle, which actually precipitated the whole "oh, Poland is trying to fuck with us" thing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't think you should blame him for what his relatives did, but
it was his father.
Yeah,
the sins of the father should not be delivered upon the son.
Let me put this into the mix. Well, then, do you think if it wasn't his father and it was him, if fucking Arnold was raised in a different time, do you think he himself might have fucking decided to volunteer to be a stormtrooper?
Well, Dakota, the thing is we don't know what either any of us would do if raised under that in that world. That was an entirely different time, where almost the entire population of Germany was behind that.
That's true. Well, this is Austria, same thing, you know, at the time of World War II.
And, you know, my heritage being very close to Germany, similar to Austria type of situation, there's a lot of that you could find in my family.
I knew it. No, I'm only kidding.
You know, they all fought in the war.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you had to volunteer to be a motherfucking stormtrooper, and these guys weren't fucking nice guys.
Yeah, no, I agree that they weren't nice guys. But it's just like any other military organization. Pretty much everybody was in the military at the time.
No, I understand. I'm just saying it's not compulsory to be a stormtrooper.
Yeah, but you got an 18-year-old guy, let's say, for example. I don't know how old he was.
Old Gustav, yeah.
So let's say Goofold was 18. He didn't want to be in the regular army because he figured he'd end up dead, or he wanted the prestige of being in a special forces-type group, which the stormtroopers were.
Yeah, wanted to be the old brown shirts.
And they didn't. And it wasn't popularly known in Germany, a lot of what was going on at that point in time, too.
It wasn't popularly known in the United States of America, a lot of what was going on at that time.
No, a lot of that wasn't found out until after the war.
Yeah, most definitely.
So I can't blame him for getting involved. And I know that you've never been in a military organization, but once you get into it, you pretty much do the deal, especially if it's a hard-line one like the German military.
No, I understand that. I will say that the Germans, that the Nazi Party, the National Socialists, definitely had their psychological fucking warfare thing down right. They used snappy colors. They looked fucking cool. You know, me in the same position, Austria, late 30s, early 40s, I might have fucking myself decided that I wanted to be a stormtrooper. I'm not passing any judgment. I'm just putting it out there that there's many, most of the population of this country doesn't know that Schwarzenegger's daddy was a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
They just don't know. My thing keeps cutting out. We're going to edit that out, too.
The other important thing to remember with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the stormtroopers is if you talk to a lot of the Jewish charities that work with Holocaust victims and whatnot, he is one of their biggest financial supporters.
He feels bad.
Yeah.
Daddy was a stormtrooper.
Well, he's making it. He has no obligation to make any amends for his father's misgivings.
Of course not.
But he is.
Which is, you know, a good thing. And I don't really have anything against old Governor Schwarzenegger. I think he's a cool guy.
I consider him to be a rather upright citizen.
Schwarzenegger, yeah. He's a good guy. He's a straight shooter. Sometimes he says things that aren't that popular with a lot of people because he is a straight shooter. I equate him to a character who was in a movie with him, Jesse Ventura, who may have been like an ineffectual politician, but nonetheless a straight shooter, and got in trouble for the things he said because he was a straight shooter. These guys aren't, I will say for the record that I like seeing a guy like Schwarzenegger in there because he's not one of these career politician types who I hate so much. You know what I'm saying? And he's a straight fucking shooter. Who's that? He was a stormtrooper.
I think we can move back on to Bush right now.
All right, go back. Whatever you got to say, Paranoia. It's your time.
Okay. I know the reason that I voted for him is because I agree with the war in Iraq, and also Bush being a Republican would be looser on gun control than Kerry would. And most people don't agree with the war in Iraq, but the reason I like the war in Iraq is because Saddam violated UN Resolution 1441, which was an agreement made so that the coalition forces would not invade Iraq back in the 91 Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much what it stated involved like sanctions and weapons inspections. And if Saddam complied...
The U.S. ordered the weapon inspectors out of Iraq.
Okay, let me get to that. Well, okay. What it violated... Well, there were mobile hydrogen labs, which...
that we haven't found.
Which Saddam denied existed. We even showed him pictures of them, and he had denied that they existed, and he wouldn't let the UN inspectors in there. So he was threatened to let the inspectors into these mobile hydrogen labs or face invasion. After he didn't comply, the UN weapons inspectors were ordered out by the UN. And
by the UN, not by President Bush, very important.
Right. And combat operations of the 91 Gulf War continued. I mean, usually when you're...
What do you mean they continued? They have continued since 1991.
Well, that's right, because he had...
No, it was a resumption of full military action.
A full action, but no, I mean, they don't make it look like NATO wasn't there bombing every day.
No.
It was a resumption of the original war.
Right. I mean, Clinton bombed him a few times because he didn't comply with the...
Well, actually, Clinton
continually
bombed him for the...
No, they were bombed for since 1991.
Yeah.
Continually.
Right, but, you know, obviously he never listened. So all the people who say that there are other ways besides war to enforce this don't know what the fuck they're talking about because we have fucking pussies like Clinton that bombed him all the time and he didn't fucking care. Next is... So, you know, usually when you're repelling the invasion of a country, you invade the invading country so they can't do it again. I don't know why we didn't do it back in 91, just because the UN didn't want to go and we still had enough coalition to do it. But
NATO was with us.
So hold up real quick here, Prism. I just want to know why it is that you felt necessary to link Clinton to the genitals of a female. I'm just curious. You called him a pussy.
Okay.
I'm just wondering why.
You called me out. That was.
I'm just curious.
Not
I mean, do you think that women's vaginas or pussies are
my bad.
Weak? All right. I'm just curious. I'm just wondering.
What I was trying to say is Clinton is not aggressive enough, and he didn't want to stand up, and he wasn't willing to stand up for the country.
For the country, because Iraq was such a threat to the U.S. Okay. Uh-huh.
Rigel, how do you know that he wasn't referring to a feline cat?
I think it's
You assume.
No, I think it was clearly demonstrated, Lacutus, that what he was referring to.
All right,
furthermore, I mean, we're still referring to the females of any species.
We're still referring
to them as the weaker half. Despite the fact that it should be noted that in feline cats, for example, lions, it is the females that actually do the hunting.
Yeah. Let's get back on topic. So I think that, showing weakness like that and not enforcing agreements is probably a threat. And
okay, point well taken, but the fact still remains that the American people were continuously, purposely lied to about why we were going to Iraq, the reasons of this new fucking invasion of Iraq, and the point is that imperialism, no matter which way you slice it, is fucked up. You want to go to a country to invade it? Fuck Iraq. There's a motherfucking war on terrorism, supposedly, that we'll just have to believe in for right now. Whether I do or not, it remains up for grabs. But there's a war on fucking terrorism that Saddam Hussein has little, if nothing, to do with. So Osama bin Laden is fucking chilling in the Batcave, fucking doing who knows what, and there's countries out there like Syria and fucking Yemen and Saudi motherfucking Arabia, where all these supposed quote-unquote hijackers, who mysteriously are all still alive, were fucking on those 19 hijackers on the planes on September 11th, all from Saudi Arabia. Fucking plenty of countries that we could go fuck with and fight the war on terror.
Cut your statement short, because I can't remember everything that you said to reply to.
Okay. Point is, war on terror, instead we go to Iraq. Saddam has little if nothing to do with the war on terror.
Okay,
why would we go to Iraq?
We're fighting terrorists and, like, very small groups. I don't think that...
Okay, no. When you go and invade a country and those motherfuckers decide to fight you, they're not terrorists.
No, you see, Dakota, you're wrong on this one piece. The people who are fighting us in Iraq are not Iraqis.
According to the popular propaganda of the day.
No, how many friends do you have that are in Iraq right now that you talk to that tell you they're not Iraqis?
How do they know they're not Iraqis? Did they check their passports?
No, the people of Iraq commonly and openly know, and the free press in Iraq talks about that they're not Iraqis, that they're foreign insurgents. Most of them are from Syria, Yemen, and Saudi Arabia.
Why are we not there? Why are we not there?
Because we do not have a legal reason to enter to those countries.
We don't have a legal reason to enter anywhere.
We did. They violated UN Resolution 14401. We have a legal
for years and years and years, but we only do it fucking after the September 11th incident?
Well, I admit the war in Iraq
was almost,
we did
almost invaded Iraq as a result of the violations of 1441 as well.
I think that there's a lot bigger fucking fish to fry. That's my argument.
But I think are busloads of terrorists getting on buses and going into Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen to fight, and we are killing them there. The idea behind the biggest idea of why we're fighting this war the way we are is it's been letting it suck all these people in so that we can kill them there so we don't have to fight them in the streets of New York or Minnesota.
Well, we're not going to fight them in the streets of New York or Minnesota because fucking whatever Osama bin Laden, whatever his reason...
Osama bin Laden is a small piece of the pie. He's not the large character that is the whole war on terror. He's a small piece of it that needs to be dealt with. It's much bigger than him or any one man.
Well, these supposed Al-Qaeda guys seem to be capable of much more than, say, like fucking Hezbollah. I mean, you don't see fucking nail bombs in the streets of New York, you see planes crashing into fucking buildings. So I'm a little more concerned with fucking Al-Qaeda than I would be with other terrorist organizations who fucking do little fucking minuscule shit that I'm really not too concerned with. Yeah, you know, a nail bomb isn't all that good, but, I mean, it's better. I'd rather have that than buildings falling out of the sky.
As you just said, Iraq is like a honeypot now, and it's a good place to take on Al-Qaeda members rather than taking it over on our land.
They're not going to come here. Osama bin Laden got what he wanted. He got what he wanted from September 11th. If indeed Osama bin Laden was behind, and
he didn't get what he wanted because, regardless, let's not even say Osama bin Laden. Whatever if we can agree that it was Islamic terrorists, or for at least the sake of argument that it was Islamic terrorists.
Yeah, for the sake of argument, I'm going to say it was bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, and if indeed it was bin Laden and Al-Qaeda that are responsible for the fucking horrific events of 9/11, what bin Laden wanted, he got. Fucking, what was his problems? I don't like the indecency of America. Well, fucking gee, thanks to fucking Janet Jackson's tits, fucking the FCC is cracking down on that shit. And what else did he want? He wanted fucking the U.S. military out of Saudi Arabia. They fucking packed up and left a couple of months ago. Bin Laden, of course, has no reason to come here.
The biggest thing that they want isn't that. It's they want to have a worldwide Islamic theocratic government.
Nobody ever said that. Bin Laden himself doesn't want that.
That is what they're pushing for.
He wants freedom just as much as we want freedom, but he wants his own kind of freedom where he fucking lives. He doesn't want the U.S. coming in and pumping McDonald's into fucking his land. He doesn't want that.
The Islamic fundamentalists want worldwide Islamic rule.
Well, just as much.
They will not rest, and the Quran calls for all to be killed or converted worldwide.
Well, just as much as right-wing Christians fucking want new crusades.
The Crusades were originally a reprisal war against the Arabs, their invasion of Europe, on their quest to kill or convert everyone in the known world.
Their only problem is that they haven't succeeded, as the Christians have.
Well, no, it's been a tit for tat, back and forth. We beat back the Muslims invade, we win, and we do a reprisal war against them. We let them live their lives, they build back up, they do it all over again. It's a cycle that's been going on for thousands of years.
Well, if Iraq is going to be the honeypot to attract all these fucking rogue terrorists from all over to come in and fight the U.S. because we're there, I think that's kind of fucked up to the just random average fucking Habib walking down the streets in fucking Fallujah, you know what I'm saying, who has nothing to fucking do with this. Why does his dumbass need to be in the middle of it? Why do his kids need to get fucking killed?
Nobody's hanging out in Fallujah. No, guys hanging out in Fallujah. All the families and people fled Fallujah. The only people that are left there are people that want to fight. It's been made very clear what's going to happen in Fallujah, and almost everybody has fled or is hiding in their basement.
Yeah, I mean, just to weigh in here on myself, you know, from my own particular social and political standpoint, I say that we really have no choice but to go in there and fucking kill every single last one. And, you know, I regret having to say that, but, you know, if you want to live in a society where fucking women are required to wear veils, can't vote, where, you know, fucking you can't listen to music and you can't have a fucking beer, you know, that's not the kind of society that I'm interested in living in.
Where women are stoned because their legs were got inadvertently shown to death.
Right. I don't want to see them. They're ugly. Make them cover it. It's a good plan.
Where fathers kill their daughters for being raped.
Right, right. But this is all a bunch of shit that's not okay with me. Like, you know, I mean, I have enough fucking problems with the Judeo-Christian contest we have right now. We're like, we don't need this fucking fundamental Islam.
You're right. It's a fucking big problem. These people are doing fucked up shit. That's all fucking very well and good. But
for
Team America, World Police, to fucking take from a fucking popular movie out now, I don't think really... Why are we the fucking judge and jury to say who's who, what's what, and what can go fucking on? It's their
because
sovereign fucking land.
It's their stated purpose to kill or convert us, to destroy our way of life.
Not Iraq.
Iraq as well. All of these...
Iraq is a secular fucking nation.
Yes. No, they were. They've become the more Islamic tied in the last 10 years because that's where they were getting support from.
Well, it's understandable, I suppose. From their standpoint, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not down with preemptive strikes. I don't think Iraq was a threat. I don't think Saddam Hussein was a threat to me.
It doesn't matter. They broke the contract and we had to finish up the Gulf War. They should have been invaded back then for what they did to Kuwait and tried to do Saudi Arabia.
Saddam got the green light from a fucking U.S. diplomat to go invade Kuwait.
Okay,
that's a point
world.
Of continued argument, though.
Yeah,
it is a point of continued argument. Okay, I'll rephrase that. There are some who might say that fucking Saddam got the green light from an American diplomat to invade Kuwait, which of course precipitated the first Gulf War with Daddy Bush.
The thing is Dakota, if I entered into a contract with you and I didn't agree by the terms, you would take some action.
No. I definitely agree with your point on that, but what I'm saying is, if you're a fucking cop on the street, do you fucking get that fucker over there for jaywalking, or do you get that guy holding the fucking woman up at gunpoint?
Well, what you do is you get the guy that's standing over there with a warrant, and that's essentially what he was standing there with.
Regardless of what's going on around you?
Well, he violated the terms of his if we want to take this analogy, Saddam violated the terms of his conditional release. He had a warrant out for him.
For quite a long time.
How long does it take people to get picked up on warrants sometimes? It's a low priority. When the time comes, it has to be done.
All I'm saying is that there are American citizens getting killed in fucking Iraq, and there's really no reason for that. When they could, you know, I would agree with it more if we were actually fighting a war on terror where it fucking belongs, in Yemen, in Syria. Arguably Afghanistan, yeah, we put the Taliban there. Jimmy Carter pretty much fucking, he created Al-Qaeda, you know what I'm saying? But at least Afghanistan, supposedly since bin Laden was getting definite aid from the Taliban, at least Afghanistan was a viable target. But I also think that Syria and Yemen, places like that, should have been higher on the list than Iraq. Okay?
I don't think we're done. In the Middle East.
Oh, I know we're not done. This is the war on terror is one of these things that's never going to be done.
No, this is going to be a 10-year war.
I'm thinking longer than that. I think
that we'll get things wrapped up before 10. Well, because Iraq will be fairly stabilized within a year, I think. And at that point, our fairly large military bases that we're building out there, as guests of the sovereign government of Iraq, will use the staging points to work on the rest of it. With the help of the military of Iraq, Yemen and Syria and Iran are all threatening Iraq's territorial integrity right now.
Who's the guy who runs Iraq nowadays? What's his name? I can't recall the guy's name off the top of my head.
I can't get it off the top
but
of my
he,
head.
But he's a fucking piece of work. Didn't he personally execute a couple of people?
I'm not familiar with that.
I think he personally executed a few people in front of his American. Some Americans he had with him, you know what I'm saying, just to prove, hey, look,
I'm a mean guy. I'm going to fucking make sure you guys don't fuck around. I mean, I'm sure the people he executed personally were pretty bad motherfuckers.
In any post-war situation, you have to rule with an iron fist. We did it in Germany. We executed hundreds of thousands of people that we arrested in post-war Germany.
I'm just saying. I know.
It's something that you just have to do in a post-war reconstruction time to maintain peace and order.
I'm just saying this guy did it personally. He didn't send any of his minions to do it. He did it personally. At least six people.
In that part of the world, that holds a lot of political weight.
I'm sure it does.
And he's a politician. He wants to get elected.
Yeah. Well,
to be the permanent president.
I think this causes more problems than it will solve in the long run. The fundamentalist Muslims don't like us, not because of our freedoms, but because of our imposition of our ways of thinking and our forms of government and our consumerism.
They don't care about any of that. What they care about is that we're not Muslims.
I'm sure that may be an underlying factor, but they really care more about the fact that we're going over there not being Muslims instead of sitting right here not being Muslims.
No, sitting right here being Muslims is a threat to them. It's due to their religion. It calls on them to convert everyone with force if they're there.
And furthermore, I mean, under a fundamental Islamic rule, like, half the population is fucking repressed, if not more than half. And you can always justify it. And saying that you're going over there to liberate the other half of the population.
Well, yeah, because we're dropping freedom on them in the form of bombs and stuff.
Well, it's unfortunate, but, what's worse? Fucking a 16-year-old girl being killed in Iran because she was smart with the judge?
Hey, my way of thinking is if that's what they want to do when in Rome, what they want to do, it's their thing, you know what I'm saying?
I don't agree with it. But is that what she wanted to do? I mean, like, obviously not. I mean, like, obviously she had no desire to be killed at 16. Like, that's not what she wanted to do. What's your judge of what people want to do?
Well, I know quite a few people from Iran. And let me tell you, when the Shah left, they left. So, if you didn't, too bad.
Well, how's the 16-year-old girl supposed to pull that
off? Ah, they should have fucking brought her with her.
You know, if the stated purpose of an organization is to destroy us, I think that they are a legitimate target.
So you're telling me that you're just against the whole Muslim religion?
I'm against fundamentalist Muslims. See, there's two pieces of
Islam. Well, the Quran is the Quran. I mean, it's all based on interpretation.
There is, and there are people out there. I mean, there are things in the Christian Bible that we would consider horrid.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
That you could interpret it to do it, but unfortunately, a large majority of Muslims in that part of the world now, and an ever-growing part, follow this fundamentalist belief that involves just doing horrible things. And the Saudis have let the Wahhabism grow in their country, and then it's spread out from there that it's taking over, and they're becoming a serious threat.
Well, I don't know. The Bush family seems to like that because, they're really good friends with the Saudi royals.
No, the Saudi royals are not Wahhabis. The Saudi royal family cut a deal with the Wahhabis over 100 years ago to let them do their thing.
Well, yeah, they let it go down. They're facilitating it by letting it happen.
Well, that's their way of maintaining power. The royal family would have lost power if they weren't ventured into that agreement.
Hmm.
That they were forced into that agreement in the first place with the Wahhabis. Maintain their control, or at least their level of power and wealth over that country. And they were, stuck with that situation. They did it, and they let it get so out of control that they can't handle it. And the House of Saud will most likely collapse as an end result, and we'll see Saudi Arabia as a state that looks a lot like Iran.
Well, but it seems to be getting worse and worse every day, and I don't think the Gulf War of 91 really helped the situation. I don't think that this current war in Iraq is really helping the situation either. In actuality, when, and I'll quote, and I'm not going to tell you who said this. I'm not going to tell anyone. If someone here can tell me, then that's fine. If none of you can, someone's going to send in an email. When you have to go to war, you have already lost.
Albert Einstein.
Nope. Way before Albert Einstein.
Oh, fucking
Sun Tzu.
Very good.
Yeah.
And it's true. It holds true today. When you are forced to go to war, you've already lost. And I think, unfortunately, how long have we gone, Doug? What's the time on this fucking thing?
We're approximately like 35, 36.
35, all right, we still got a few minutes.
I mean, Doug's the master.
Well, you don't think the war in Iraq is really helping.
I want to tell you a little anecdote, though, really quick, about Islamic terror and the advancement of civilization. If it's not resolved, it's going to hold us until we get it done. There's a joke where Colin Powell and Yasser Arafat are sitting down, and Yasser says to Colin Powell, "You know, I like this Star Trek show you have. My boy, he really likes it, and he watches it every night. But I'm very concerned about one little piece of the show. In the show, there are blacks, there are whites, there are Asians, there are aliens of all different types. But there are no Arabs." And Colin kind of leans across the table and says to Yasser, "Well, Yasser, that's because Star Trek takes place in the future."
Not funny.
Well, you know what? If Islamic fundamentalism takes over that whole part of the world, we may be left with little choice but to fight them all. There are good Arabs out there and there are good Muslims, but the way that it's growing...
Well, for example, even look at a country like Egypt, which is an Islamic country that has a democracy.
Yep, same with Turkey.
But it in fact does work. Unfortunately, like Lucutin's saying, there's some fucked up shit over there.
And the biggest problem is even the Islamic democratic countries are not willing to deal with theocratic Islamic Islamofascism, essentially.
Mm.
They're unwilling to deal with it, just like Europe is unwilling to deal with it. They're afraid to deal with it because of some form of political correctness, or I'm not sure exactly why. I can only speculate. But they're unwilling to deal with the problem, and if these issues are not dealt with, it's going to become so big that it's going to be a war of the likes that has made everything else that's gone on so far look like a day in the park.
And unfortunately, that's what's going to happen.
Well,
we're heading for something really bad here. We're heading for something really bad, and I wish, you know, and you know what? I have to say that I wish, because I can't come up with an alternative fucking answer to this, but I wish that we didn't have to do it the way that we're doing it. If there was a different way, which I don't know if there is or not, but unfortunately, going to war is just going to lead to more problems. And if for us to install governments, whether we say that we're doing it or not, whether we call it democracy or not, it's only going to lead to more problems. We put Saddam there. We put the fucking Taliban there. We wanted the Taliban to rule Afghanistan with an iron motherfucking fist because the alternative was fucking bad. But then 20 years later, we're down with the alternative, the United Front, the Northern Alliance. We have to back who we have to back at a particular time. And 20 years later, it might bite us in the motherfucking ass.
But I think that we'll be all right with these. I mean, I think that in Afghanistan, they've had a lot of success. They've had their free presidential elections. They have elected, you know, I mean, Karzai, who is the person that we put in place, but that's because I think their people are happy with what he did.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Karzai's a good guy so far. I see him as a little bit of a puppet, but, you know.
The biggest thing you have to remember, Dakota, one of the reasons why these countries collapse the way they do is because the people themselves are oppressed, even the men. As Rigel has been so good to point out that the women are oppressed, the men themselves are oppressed because they have such a top-heavy...
Oh, absolutely. The system of patriarchy. Patriarchy affects both men and women. And in raw reality, the reason why men live less long than women do is because of patriarchy. It's a horrible system. It's affecting all of us.
And that is what is causing these things to happen, because the people don't have jobs. They're faced with a life of hopelessness. The thing that's
right,
going to win the peace in Afghanistan and in Iraq is stability and jobs. And with the explosion of jobs in Afghanistan, it's why it's become so stable.
But it's also going to piss off more people.
Well, the people that live there are happy because they're getting jobs.
No, I understand that. And Al-Qaeda is bigger than it was prior to September 11th.
Well, they are, because it's a time of war, and in time of war, you have to... Everyone recruits more soldiers.
Well, of course, and that's what I'm saying. That
there's nothing we can do about it.
The more
we should be afraid to fight a war because we think they're going to get madder at us. We're already at war. We've already gone to the conflict and last resort with them. Who cares if they get madder at us or they get more troops?
I care because it's going to come to this country. I can easily be very isolationist and say I don't give a fuck what happens in fucking Iraq because it doesn't happen here. I don't care whether they stone people to death. I don't give a fuck what they do. I could be very isolationist and say that. You know what I'm saying? I may not mean it, but a little part of me doesn't want it to come back here. I live in fucking New York. Let me tell you, if anything's going to go down, it's going to fucking go down here. I don't really need to see it again. I really don't. And there are other ways to go about this. War is only one of them. War is the last resort, should be used as a last resort. And if we're already at the last resort, I don't really see anything good coming of this. If they succeed in what they're doing, then I'll be surprised, and hopefully the world will be a better place. Unfortunately, I'm going to be a little cynical, and I'm going to say this is going to come back and bite us in the ass harder. And I'll see if they do it right. I think going to Iraq right now was a mistake. It could have waited.
Well, I think in the end, there are three reasons why invading Iraq is helping us. Showing U.S. resolve by enforcing UN Resolution 1441, using Iraq as a honeypot to capture, interrogate, and kill terrorist members, and also give us a strategic location in the Middle East to help take care of more combat operations, on top of the fact that we also are liberating the Iraqi people from their oppressive government.
Well, let's see how far it goes, and let's see how long it takes before we're fucking in some place where we might need to get some jobs done, like Saudi Arabia and fucking Yemen and Syria. Let's see how long it takes.
And when we do, we'll
be ready because we already have Iraq, and Iraq is something we should have taken since 91. And I'm pretty sure that Clinton's term is the perfect example of why we did war as a last resort, and there was no other way to solve the problem with Saddam breaking the ceasefire agreement.
Perhaps. That may be very true.
And, I mean, in a time after September 11th, showing U.S. resolve is really important, even if it does mean, the death of
our troops. Even if they have to lie to you to get you there.
They didn't lie to us. Even French and Russian intelligence, countries that were against the invasion.
They admitted that they lied to us. And then Colin Powell admitted as much as saying that it doesn't matter if there was weapons of mass destruction or not, because we would have went there anyway. Of course we would have.
Well, if there's a weapons of mass destruction, if there's a reliable Israeli intelligence that the whole world ignores of the weapons all being moved into
Syria. Well, what about the connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, Saddam and Al-Qaeda, which was from one motherfucker at Camp X-Ray who later recanted his story? You know what I'm saying?
French,
that was just another lie.
No, French intelligence has videotape of Al-Qaeda members meeting with Iraqi intelligence officers.
I have videotape of Donald Rumsfeld meeting with Iraqi intelligence officers. Should we attack ourselves? And then there.
Also,
why is the answer?
On the weapons of mass destruction deal, if someone acts like they have a gun, and they, as Saddam did by not letting us in, letting the inspectors into certain places, I'm not going to take a chance. I'm going to go ahead and drop. Before I find out that they actually did have a gun, and then I get dropped.
Well, it's all debatable.
They did have a small connection with Al-Qaeda, that is true, and the idea is that they would hand off WMDs to Al-Qaeda.
The United States of America had more of a connection with Al-Qaeda. They continually talk about, oh, well, Iraq and Iran, they let three or four Al-Qaeda members through their fucking borders. Well, the United States of America let at least 19 Al-Qaeda members through our borders. And I think that's going to have to be the end of the show because we're going really fucking long. Rigel, did you get that email?
One more thing. Al-Qaeda members are showing up in Jordan with weapons of mass destruction that they got from Syria, which have only been known to be produced in Iraq. So we found no WMDs. Perhaps they got moved to Syria during the first few days of bombing.
Yeah, that's the old... Maybe Lacutis can tell you about Slobodan Milosevic and the mass graves. Oh, we can't find him, so they must have hidden him real fucking good. No. The idea that they were never there in the first place doesn't even cross anyone's mind.
WMDs and mobile hydrogen labs, which are truck towed, are a little bit easier to hide and move to a different country than mass graves.
Than mass graves? Well, we couldn't find the mass graves, so they must have hidden them real good.
Well, that's because they didn't exist.
Well,
now,
okay.
I want to ask you a closing question, Decoder.
Yeah, we got to read these emails, though, before we go. What's
if
up?
If you were given a option, if it was 50%, if there was a 50% chance that Iraq was going to give weapons of mass destruction to Al-Qaeda, which they intended to detonate in New York City, that would kill 50,000-plus people.
I would have to answer it very honestly. I would have to answer it very honestly and say that Al-Qaeda, if I am to believe the official line...
Those are all the facts that you have.
No, okay, no. I'm gonna tell you exactly what I have to say. That Al-Qaeda, if I'm going to believe the official reports I get, and what I see on the news, and what happened on September 11th, they are a very sophisticated, very well-backed, not only by Osama bin Laden and his fucking money, but by Pakistani ISI, fucking, which is their version of the CIA,
yeah.
And if fucking Al-Qaeda didn't have weapons of mass destruction to fucking begin with, then I'm really not too concerned with them getting them, because I'm already thinking they fucking have them. These guys are well-backed. I don't think they need Saddam Hussein to do anything.
I believe that if they had those things, they would have already used them.
Pakistan, Al-Qaeda's bought and paid for by the ISI. Muhammad Atta got his money from fucking ISI operatives. Pakistan has nuclear capabilities, just like motherfucking India. I think that they already have them.
If they were going to give them to Islamic terrorists, they would use them in 2 seconds. They would sneak those things into New York City, and they would detonate a nuclear weapon.
That's what they're talking about right now, suitcase nukes. I think they already have them.
If they would have had one, they'd be on its way here right now.
Not necessarily.
They
would want to, but they would plan it out a lot better than that. But
it would be en route, in transit, some way. They would not wait around. They would put a plan together right away and execute it.
All I'm going to say is they have a lot better chance.
A sophisticated shipping operation.
Dude.
They could get it in.
All I'm going to say is that Osama bin Laden has a much fucking better chance of getting the shit he wants from fucking the ISI than he does from Saddam Hussein. I'm more worried about Pakistan than I am about Saddam. And Rigel, read the fucking emails.
Are you going to answer the question or not?
I just answered it. I said I would already think he had it.
Would you, if there's a 50% chance of him giving weapons of mass destruction to Al-Qaeda and they intended to bring them and detonate them to New York, would you invade Iraq?
If that's the only...
Yes or no, that's all you have.
If that's the... First of all, don't attack me on my own show because that's a fucking... That's a ridiculous fucking argument because
we... It's a question.
It's a ridiculous argument. All I'm going to say... Is that what I know from the facts that ISI fucking has much more to do with this than Saddam Hussein? If that was my only piece, you're not letting me answer the question. If that was my only piece,
question.
Excuse me?
It's a yes or no question.
No, it isn't. It's not a yes or no question.
You're repeating what you said before, which is you rambled about.
No, you're not letting me finish. So of course you're not letting me talk. If that was the only piece of intelligence I had, then yes, but it's not. I have much more intelligence than that, so fucking no, based on the current state of the world. ISI and the fucking backing they gave to Al-Qaeda is much more dangerous than Saddam Hussein. If that didn't exist, if the whole world failed to exist except for fucking Saddam Hussein, weapons of mass destruction, and Osama bin Laden, then I would say, yeah, fucking go bomb the shit out of fucking Iraq. But you know what? That's not the case. That's not the case. Roger, read the emails.
All right. We got one from Elgola Uno. Which I don't have a copy of in front of me. But from what I understand, he was just basically like, yo, you guys are cool. And like, you know, hey, shout out to El Gordo for that.
He said something about a band. Doug, do you know the name of the band?
Yeah, Fortitude, Rigel.
What's that?
He forwarded it to you. There was we talked about on the first episode of the Mind War, there have been no good bands that came out in the past 5 years. And he had the name of a band. I forgot the name of it, but he said two of the members were Harvard educated. Doug, what's the name of the motherfucking band?
Bishop Allen.
Bishop Allen, okay. He said that's a band that's come out in the past 5 years. That's good.
BishopAllen.com.
BishopAllen.com, there you go. What's the other email, Rigel?
We got one from Yonch, who was saying some, keep it up, here's some shit, fucking link to the Cryptome military dead in Iraq.
Wait, from who?
Yonch.
How does he spell that?
Yaunch.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
He's a guy who's on the PLA forums, for which, like, just read off a little thingamajig, like, calendar of U.S. military dead. I actually check this webpage fairly frequently. So far this year, 589 people have died who were U.S. military forces in Iraq.
Okay.
That's up from last year, which it was like 500.
Up from all of last year or year to date?
The total of last year.
Oh, the total of last year, not year to date. Okay, 589. This is Cryptome.org?
Yeah, Cryptome. Well, 589 is this year, and then like 582 is last year, but that also includes 59 dead in Afghanistan.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't include the Iraqis dead. Anyway, apparently...
It doesn't include the 10,000 Iraqis dead?
No, it does not.
Okay, just to point that out. Oh, and you know, not 10,000, between 8,900 and 12,000, I don't even know what the number is now. I'm sure you could find it somewhere on the internet.
And it also doesn't include the 81 British and, like, you know, the other handful of people.
And those other countries that we don't care about because we're America.
Anyway, yeah. Apparently on December 16th, the Department of Defense announced today the death of a soldier who was supporting Operation Iraqi Freedom, PFC Kenneth Solin, 21, of Mansfield, Ohio, died December 15th at Baghdad International Airport, Iraq. Solzin died of non-combat-related injuries. He was assigned to the 440th Signal Company, 22nd Signal Brigade, anyway, the email that effectively Yonch is forwarding is, I went to basic with this guy and served in the same battalion. Non-combat-related injuries really means committed suicide because people harassed him. Granted, he wasn't the most stable person in the world and shouldn't have been down in the desert anyway. The incident is under investigation. Really means investigation has been completed because I've seen the report that's taped to his M16 that he used sitting in our arms room.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And that's just kind of going to show you that, yeah, you know, I mean, the fucking official story is a load of shit.
Yes, the official story is always a load of shit, which is why you have the mind war. Of course, Roger 5, been a pleasure.
Right.
Fucking Paranoia and Locutus, definitely a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
No doubt. You got to be back more often. This is fucking good shit. Anybody have any shouts, by the way? Good on the line. Rigel.
Yeah, I don't want to give a fucking shout-out to Heather.
All right.
Yeah, I'll give a shout-out to Pound9X and everyone else on FNet.
Fuck IRC! Idiot!
Yeah, how do you give fucking shout-outs to your fucking knife, buddy? I mean, whoops.
Yeah, Pound9X, Pound Cellular, Pound Shroomery.
Dude, you don't even know what fucking 9X was.
Don't forget Pound Octothorpe.
I don't idle in there, dude.
Oh, you don't idle in Pound Octothorpe?
Yeah.
All right.
Pound Orchid. Yeah,
All right. Shouts to IRC. Okay, Locutus.
Well, as an affiliate of 9X, I appreciate your shouts. the only person I'll give shouts to is my man Bush and everyone who worked hard to get him reelected.
Alrighty.
Yeah, we're standing here. Shouts to Bush.
Yes. Shouts to King George. Doug, you have any shouts?
Yeah, I have to get a shout to Natus.
Alright, my shouts are to Locutus's car noise.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh, yeah.
I gotta mention something about that. I've been listening to you guys on my speakers all day, you know, like from the beginning of the show, and when I came in on the phone in the middle of it, I heard car noise. I was like, wow, I didn't even know Locutus was in the car, because you don't hear it on the recording.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, if you don't hear it on the recording, that's good, because we can hear the background noise.
I'm on a little bit of a cross-state voyage right now, so...
He's driving for Bush.
You know, you really need to get a place that's closer to where you always go.
You know, well, I drive all over the state all the time, so unfortunately it's part of what I have to do.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, let me continue my shouts. I also want to give shout-outs to my man Spin, who's going to probably be on this show real soon once he gets finished studying for the LSATs. Shouts to everybody at NYC 2600. That I had the pleasure of being at yesterday, of course, was the first Friday of the month, so shouts to Epiphany, shouts to Dementia, and Anon, most definitely. And the one dude who I forgot his name, fucking that I'll try to find out from Epiphany. I forgot the dude's name.
Whoa, what about that lady?
What lady?
The lady.
Oh, shouts to that fucking bum bag lady on the street screaming about the Irish. Shouts to fucking her. I was very offended, but it was quite amusing. You might want to visit her. Actually, before I go, I will say that anybody in New York City, my good friend Spin, longtime friend, pointed something out to me that right next to the Citigroup building where the fucking 2600 meetings are held in New York City, right there on Lexington Avenue, directly north of the Citigroup building, there's a church that lets homeless people sleep in front of it at night. And when you pass by there, there's about 20 homeless people with sleeping bags and everything. So I know that I will run into her again. So that's
maybe
it.
Maybe you should have her on as a special guest.
She was there's a little recording out there that we made.
I've heard it.
We're hopefully going to get we're going to film her. Hopefully we're going to get an interview. It's going to be good stuff. That might be the Mind War TV. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned for the bum interviews.
We're fucking done because I want to go watch the rest of this Alex Jones.
Yeah, and it's like 3 in the morning here on the East Coast. We got to get out of here. This has been another pre-recorded episode of the Mind War. And, yeah, so that's fucking it, man. Once again, we don't have a catchphrase. So this is just the Mind War. Mind fucking you, psychological warfare, and propaganda, all sorts of shit. You're going to get it all here. On the motherfucking Mind War.
Visit us on the web.
Visit us on the web at themindwar.com, themindwar.tk, and any other free domain extension that we could fucking possibly get, because we're only going to pay for one. So people who want to hijack this shit, you can go get .net and .org. We're not going to pay for that shit, but you might see a .info one day that might forward to it. And big, huge shouts to Rigel5 for fucking making that website. It looks fucking real ill.
Yeah, thanks.
Did you see it today?
Yes, I definitely did. It's fucking dope. And that's it. This has been the Mind War. Fucking, hopefully you're going to hear us live pretty soon. Almost every day, except Tuesdays, because Tuesday is a day of reverence in the Mind War world.
September 11th, yo, respect.
September 11th, Election Day. All sorts of shit happens on Tuesdays. That's it. We're out of here. Later.